message in a way that would be a help to your people, an encouragement to your people. And I ask this in the precious name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to preach to you just for a few moments on this thought. How to address a burden. Boy, I got to thinking about the church. Got to thinking about burdens. And there's many, 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 many different types of burdens. The Lord gives a lot of different scenarios in His Word. And that word burden simply means what we know it means is a heavy load or to oppress. And when you look around at God's people today, I believe that a lot of people are just absolutely burdened down. I believe so many people, you can look and see that sad countenance on their face, and I believe so many people are just burdened down today and carrying a heavy burden. And I don't understand why that we choose to do this. And it is a choice because the Bible gives all kinds of scriptures about how that we're to lay these burdens down and let the Lord take these burdens from us. I know the Word of God says that we're to share one another's burdens, and we should. But David says in Psalm 38 and 4, he says, "Mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me." He also says in Psalm 55 and 22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Boy, I tell you, so many scriptures talks about this, and but yet God's people are still carrying these burdens when the Lord tells us to lay them on Him and to get out from under them. But the Matthew chapter number 11, very familiar scripture, verse number 28, "Come unto me, all ye that are that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." And he goes on to say in verse number 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Boy, I tell you, we live in some sad, sad days when God's people are so burdened down. And I, like I said, there's many, many different kinds of burdens. And I got to thinking about Hannah's burden. And I want to talk just a few minutes on her burden and make mention of a few things concerning her burden. First of all, I thought about her burden as being a literal burden. That word literal just means true. It means accurate. And you say, "Well, Brother Dorsey, why? What would you say that her burden is a literal burden for?" Because this was a very personal burden. This was hers. It belonged to her, and she had to deal with this burden. Listen, there's people that deal with burdens from other folks, but when we talk about a personal and a literal burden that we're having to deal with, or we choose to deal with, it's a little bit different. And I know what you're thinking. Shouldn't our burdens for others be just as important or just as real as our own personal burdens? And I say, yes, it should be. But I'll give you just a little example right quick. Now, if somebody came, a brother came to you and said, "Pray for me, I've lost my job, and I need your prayers." We'd be faithful to pray for him. We'd ask God to give him another job and to take care of him. We'd do that. But, buddy, I'm telling you, when it comes to you and I losing our job, it gets a little bit more personal to us. In other words, when that time comes for the mortgage to be paid and the money wasn't coming in, and when it come time to pay our utilities and our car payment and to buy groceries, boy, I'm telling you, we'd be about ready to panic. We'd be burdened about this, even more so than when we're burdened for our brothers and sisters in Christ. But Hannah's burden was a literal burden. And I say that because she had something that she wanted. And she probably dreamt of this when she was a young woman. She wanted a family. She wanted to be able to have children. But the Lord had shut her womb up, so she could not have children. And I got to thinking about this. She for years and years, tried to be able to have a child. You know, it had to weigh heavy on her. I tell you, we live in a sick, perverted, twisted world today, to where men claim to be women and vice versa. I listened to something the other day to where there was somebody being interviewed, and they were talking about this subject here, men wanting to be women. And the guy that was doing the interview, he said, he was talking to a woman. He said, "Do you think that a man can get pregnant?" And she said, "Well, yes, I do think a man can get pregnant." And I'm just saying, we're living in a sick, sick world. But I'm here to tell you tonight, there is not a man on the face of this earth that can relate to or to know how a woman that cannot have a child feels. There's no way that we could relate to that. And I'll go out a step further and say there's no woman that has children of her own that could understand and know what a burden that a woman that could not have children goes through. No way. You could not know how that feels. Hannah was experiencing this. This was a literal burden. This was a burden that was absolutely eating her alive. I'm sure that a woman would feel less than a woman, less than a wife. I know how the devil works. I know that he's constantly bombarding her and making her feel less than what she is simply because she cannot have children. So Hannah's going through. I mean, this was a rough time for Hannah. And the Bible does not tell us how long she had been burdened about this. It doesn't tell us whether she was Elkanah's first wife. It doesn't tell, but we do know if she was the first wife, we do know that it had been years because Peninnah had sons and daughters. So Hannah had been going through this for a long time, and it had to be awful hard for her personally to deal with. But the second thing I thought about is Hannah's burden was a lonely burden. Oh, listen, I don't know how much of a burden you've ever faced, or how bad of a burden you've ever been in, or how far it took you. But Hannah's burden caused some separations in her home, and nobody understood what Hannah was going through. First of all, we read where Peninnah was making fun or mocking. And I don't know what all took place. I don't know if it started out this way or whether it was just the fact that Elkanah loved Hannah more than he loved Peninnah, and it made Peninnah's heart get hard. I don't know about all this. All I'm saying is if there's anywhere that you and I can go and get peace and rest and security, it's in our own homes. But Hannah could not experience that because of all the mocking and making fun of and persecution that she faced from her own family. And I thought, what a shame. What a shame. Instead of encouragement, you're mocking her. You're making fun of her for something that's out of her control. She don't have any control over whether she can have a child or not. God shut up her womb. Yeah. And so it's a lonely, lonely burden. Her family didn't understand. But then not only her family, but then her husband did not understand. And you say, well, Brother Dorsey, you just got through saying that he loved her more than he did 10 sons. But listen, here's what I'm saying. Hannah was broken. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been broken when it comes to something that burdens your heart, but Hannah was about as low as she could go. I mean, she was broken, and she needed her husband to do something besides tell her that he loved her more than 10 sons. He needed to try to understand the best he could. He needed to try to comfort her during this time. But instead, he just made that statement. Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? Her husband didn't understand. And I'm telling you right now, I don't know why, but there's not a human being on the face of this earth that loves me as much or more than Kim does. I don't know why she does, but I'm convinced that she does. But listen, there's times to where her and we love one another, but there's times to where even we can't help one another. There's times to where it's only God. And Hannah's finding this out, that she does not have the support from her family. She does not have the support from her husband. He just can't comprehend, can't imagine what she's going through. He's not there to console or to try to comfort her, but he's there just to try to tell her, I love you. Why are you sad? What's going on with you? Why is your countenance sad? Why are you weeping? Why? Listen, and he on and on and on, and he just did not understand. But here Hannah is going through this situation with her family, with her husband. But then she does what we all need to do when we have a burden, when we're going through difficult times. She went to the house of God. Boy, I'm telling you, she was excited to get to the house of God. Not only did she get shunned by her family, not only did her husband not understand, but she gets in there just simply trying to pray, trying to seek God's will, trying to seek God's answer for her situation. And then the preacher even turned on her. Boy, I tell you, you just wouldn't imagine or couldn't ever imagine that happening. But she got accused because of how she was praying of being drunk. Boy, I tell you, she's in a bad situation, isn't she? I'm telling you, these burdens sometimes, they're overwhelming. Sometimes, of course, we don't understand some of the things we go through, but sometimes these heavy, heavy burdens weighed us down. And I'm telling you, they change the people around us if we're not careful. They change the situation that's that we're in. And we need more than anything to keep those heavy burdens off of us. Give them to the Lord. Let the Lord take care of them. But her husband shunned her or didn't understand. Her preacher didn't understand. So here she is in the house of God. And I'm telling you right now, there'd be a lot of people, and there is a lot of people sitting at home today that won't come back to church because of stuff like this. There's people because of situations, because of burdens that just was overwhelming to them. They absolutely got out of church and are not in church anymore. Hannah, on her way to church, we kid about this sometimes, about some of the feuding and fussing we do with our spouses is usually on Sunday morning on the way to church, and then we walk through the doors of the church and just as happy and everything just fine and dandy. But listen, here's Hannah on her way to church. She's already had it out with her family. She's already had it out with her husband. And then she gets to church, and then it starts in with a preacher. And I'm telling you, that would discourage, that would drive a lot of people away from the house of God. But the third thing I wanted you to see is Hannah's burden was lifted. It was lifted. In verse number 17, Eli answered after that she told him what was going on. Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Boy, I'm telling you right now, church makes a difference. Church makes a difference. We just need to come to church. We need to get our mind off of everything except worshiping God. When we have that heavy burden, we need to come down here and give it to God. When Hannah got up from that altar, when she got up to go home, her countenance was no more sad. In other words, God had lifted that burden. And I thank God for that. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. But I thank God that there's still hope. There's still help in the house of God. And I don't think anybody or anything or to keep us from the house of God. Got to thinking, and I'm not going to keep you much longer. I just got to thinking about three things. How to address a burden. How to address our burdens. First of all, don't quit. Don't quit. There's nothing that the devil wants more than to put a heavy burden on you and make you quit on God. There is no place, no time, nowhere to quit on God. When our families are against us, when our families don't understand what we're going through, when our spouse don't understand, even if the preacher don't understand, you better believe God understands. There's no time or no place to quit on God. We have got to keep on keeping on. I just love this storyline with Hannah because I can see how a lot of people would have just threw in the towel and give up. What's the use? But Hannah just kept on and kept on and kept on till she got in touch with God. And boy, that makes all the difference in the world. Don't quit. You say, "Well, I don't know if anybody'd care if I quit or not." Every now and then, there'll be somebody that leaves the church, and I've picked up the phone and called them. And more than one time, I've heard this statement: "I didn't think anybody cared whether I quit going or not. I ain't heard from nobody." I'm telling you right now, you and I might not be just the best of buddies. I mean, we might not be hanging out together on the outside of the church, but I'm telling you, as a child of God, as a brother in Christ to you, I care. I don't want you to quit. I don't want any of you to quit. I don't want any of God's people to quit. And we just need to encourage one another, and we've got to keep these burdens off of us, because God does not want us burdened down. We can't serve God if we're burdened down. We don't want to serve God if we're burdened down. It takes the countenance, the happy countenance, the smile, the joy, it takes it away from us. We're just like zombies when we have the heavy burdens on us. And I'm just saying, we don't need to quit. That's the first thing that we need to do, is make sure that no matter what happens, don't quit. Don't give up. You know, I've never understood how people get hurt and quit coming to church. I mean, this is something between us and God. Listen, I love you, but I don't love you as much as I love God. You didn't ask me to come join this place. God told me to join this place, and I'm not going to let anybody run me off. When God says go, I'll go. But listen, what I'm saying is we need not to quit. Just keep on keeping on. Serve God. Love God. Worship God. And don't let anybody or anything make you quit. I believe the church house has got a lot of Satan followers. And I don't mean that to be mean. I'm just saying I think Satan has got in a lot of church people. And I believe he's using them and just sitting back and laughing. And all the division, all the riff and all the stuff, division that he's causing in the house of God. And there's no place to quit. Amen. We just got to keep on keeping on.
Yes, sir.
I feel sorry for the troublemakers. Amen. I feel sorry for them. Bible says it's an abomination when you sow discord among the brethren.
Amen.
I mean, listen, Hannah was at her wit's end. She was as low as she could get. And she did not get any support from a human being. And still didn't quit.
Amen.
Boy, I'd have probably got my little feelings hurt.
Amen.
Got in a fight with my family on the way to church. And got in a fight with Kim on the way to church. Get to church and the preacher accuses me of being drunk. I'd probably quit. But there's no place to quit.
Right.
I don't know where God brought you from, but I know where he brought me from.
Amen. Yeah.
I don't want no part of that life anymore.
Amen.
But if I quit on God, I'm afraid I might slide back over there. It scares me to death to think
Amen.
About. I don't want to quit. I've got too much to keep on keeping on for. I've got a wife and children and grandchildren. I've got a God that's the God, the only God. I've got so much. I've got brothers and sisters that depend on me. Whether you believe it or not, you depend on me. I pray for y'all. We don't need to quit.
Amen.
We don't need to quit. But then, when we're addressing this burden, we need to find an altar. We need to find an altar. Church, the altar has always worked. It worked back in all through the Old Testament days, and it's always worked. And I'm telling you, this altar in the house of God is a mighty special, special altar. I mean, I love the altar in the house of God. They don't get used as much as they used to. People don't shed the tears and lay out in the floor just crying out to God the way they once upon a time did. But boy, I tell you, it's good to see people come into these altars. And it's good to see and hear when one starts shedding them tears and crying out to God. We still hear that in here every now and then. And I thank God for the altar. But let me just remind you of something. The altar can be right there in your house, in your living room, in your bedroom, in your kitchen, in your bathroom. It can be in your car going down the road. An altar is where we bow our heart down to God and cry out to God and share our burdens with God. And so if we will use the altar, I promise you, it will help keep those burdens away from us and out of our life. Listen, there's nothing wrong with burdens because the Bible does tell us to share one another's burdens and to carry one another's burdens. But there's nothing wrong with the burdens until they get so heavy to where we can't carry them. Until they get so heavy to where we can't be used of God the way God wants to use us. And I don't care who you are tonight. I don't care who you are. You get too much on your plate, you get too burdened down, you will not serve God the way God wants you to serve Him. You can't.
Amen.
You can't. There's just too much in your on your mind, too much that you're thinking about and worried about. And you know the thing about these burdens a lot of them are just things that, what if?
Yeah, you're right.
It could happen. Well, why are we so burdened about something that might or could happen? The devil's behind all this, church. I promise you, he knows how to get your attention and your mind off of God. He knows how to distract you from serving God and being a help to the brothers and sisters. He knows how to do this. And boy, I tell you, if you don't believe me, you get Brother Josh to let you come up here one Sunday morning for a few minutes and look out at the crowd. I guarantee you there's something going on with the majority of people in any congregation, in any church house today. There's the countenance is so sad. It's like they have nothing to live for. It's like they're just playing church. It's like they don't really want to be here. And it's a sad, sad thing to see. But it's going on because of these heavy burdens that people are trying to carry around. You know that scripture that tells us to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. I'm telling you, we've got to keep it off of us because there's none of us strong enough to carry these old burdens around with us. We get weighted down. Don't quit. Then find you an altar. But then if we're going to address a burden, we got to give it to the Lord and wait until the Lord lifts that burden. Why would you say something like that, Brother Dorsey? Because here's what happens. And I did that little old message one time with the bricks has got too heavy, so I carried some wood, little pieces of tube before. But anyway, and brought them down here and laid them out on the table, and they were different things that burdens us. And when I laid them out, then I came back and I picked them all up and put them back in my tow sack and walked off with them. And that, I'm afraid, is what God's people are doing. When you get in an old-fashioned altar, whether it's right here at this church house or whether it's your house or whether, don't you dare be distracted by anything. If the song stops and the burden hadn't been lifted yet, you stay right there until God lifts that burden, because that's what God wants to do. If you get up before business is taken care of and go back to your seat, you're just as burdened as you was before you came down. You've got to let God take that burden off. How do I know, Brother Dorsey, when he takes it off? Do you remember the day you got saved? I remember so many people, and I can relate to this, I can remember so many people saying it felt like I had 1,000 pounds lifted off of me. That's similar to the same feeling you'll have when you lay your burdens down. When you ask God to take this burden from you, He will lift it off of you and you will know it. Hannah didn't go home and have a baby the next day. So why in the world was her countenance not sad anymore? I mean, she wasn't even pregnant when she got up. How in the world was her countenance not sad anymore? I tell you, because she stayed down there with God until God told her that He would give her the desire of her heart. And that's how God does us. If we stay the course, stay down there till you hear from God. If the piano player stops playing, if everybody starts getting up and going home, you stay and do business with God until He lifts that burden from you. You'll know it. You'll know it when He does. I'm telling you right now, I've prayed for stuff through the years. And when I got through praying, or before I got through praying, I felt a peace come over me. God answered my prayer right then and there. Now, the thing I was praying for, it didn't get resolved at that time. But there's a peace that passes all understanding. There's a peace that God gives us when He answers our prayer. And when He answers it, you better believe if it doesn't happen immediately to whatever we're praying for, it's coming. It's coming. I'm telling you, he's not a liar. He's truth. And when He gives you peace, when He lifts that burden, whatever it is you're burdened about, if it ain't immediately gone from your life the next day or whatever, you better believe it's coming. Amen. He's not going to leave you hanging. Yes, but just listen, just the peace. Just the fact that you know, that you know, that you know that God has just answered your prayer, lifted that burden off of you. It doesn't matter if it's immediate when you get out back out there. It doesn't matter if it's all fixed up and good to go the next day. It's coming. Amen. Took 9 months for her. Yeah. But, amen, buddy, in 9 months, she had that little old baby, that man child. And guess who that man child was? It was Samuel, one of the greatest. And listen, she just knew when she got up that all the teasing wouldn't even matter anymore. You laugh at me if you want to. You make fun of me if you want to. Elkanah, I know you love me. It's evident that you love me. But I don't care if you understand what I was going through or not. I don't care. Because my God just answered my prayer. He lifted that burden off of me. And guess what? Now, me and you's going to have a baby together. I tell you, there's nothing more precious to me in the Word of God than Hannah, the way she conducted herself. And there's so much more there that you need to go back and read it if you hadn't read it in a while. There's so much more there. But one of the best, in my opinion, one of the best stories of how to deal with a burden. Everybody don't deal with them the same way. Some people don't deal with them very well at all. That's why so many people's dropped all out of church, and so many people bitter and angry. I've had people that used to be faithful to church say they'd never walk in church again. Bunch of hypocrites in there. The burdens get so heavy, it changes your whole outlook on life. And I don't know who this message is for tonight. I know it was for me, because all of us, that's one thing we've all got in common. We all know about these burdens. I was thinking about Kim, and somebody mentioned it here the other day or something, but I was thinking, you know what? Different kinds of burdens. Everybody, I mean, these different kinds of burdens, but Kim's youngest sister died. Then her husband died, fell out of a tree right at her feet, rolled right at her feet and died. Her mom died. Her dad died. Her youngest brother, only brother, died. And the mother and the daddy and the brother was recent. I mean, all of us have hardships and burdens that we go through, and some people handle it different. Some people get bitter. Some people blame God. But I've watched her life, and I've watched her go through these, and I know, without even asking her, I know that she turns this stuff over to the Lord and lets Him help her. And, boy, I appreciate that about her. And you, I hope you do that. I hope when that burden sets in, I hope you go to somewhere to an altar and stop it before it gets so heavy that it affects your life, affects your service for the Lord. We serve a great God. And he wants to help us. He's not going to force us, but he will help us if we'll allow him to. And it's a sad thing to see God's people burdened down to where they can't serve God. Father, we thank you again for this day. Oh God, I just pray for my church family. I just pray for my family, God, that you just keep a hedge around all of us. Lord, we know what's going on. We know the devil tries to discourage us. We know, God, that he just tries to burden us down with things that some of it doesn't even matter, but some of it's real. Some of it is very real. And we read about Hannah and how she dealt with it. And we ask you, God, to help us. Every time our heart starts getting heavy, every time something happens, God, that would bring a heavy burden on us, help us to run to you. Help us to ask you to help us, God, and get us back on the right course. I pray, God, for every person in the sound of my voice, that we would just surrender completely to you and let you use us for your honor and your glory. Thank you for a man of God that stands behind this pulpit every week, preaches the gospel. Thank you for him and his family. I pray that you'd keep a hedge around that ministry and that home. And Father, you've been mighty good to us around here. We don't want to ever take it for granted. But I just pray that you would help us to bear one another's burdens, help us to encourage one another. And Lord, I pray that when we see that brother or sister that's going through such a difficult time, whether it be where the death angels passed, whether it be financially, whether it be spiritually, whatever the case, I pray that we'd just reach out and try to be a help to them. We love you tonight. We thank you and praise you for everything that you've done, everything that you're doing, everything that you're going to do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.